Austin.
Thank you. Amen. Say again.
Thank you.
Amen. It's my pleasure. How's everyone doing today?
Good.
Praise the Lord. I do appreciate the young lady playing the music. Amen. What a jewel they got here. Amen. You do a great job, young lady. And you sing and all those other things. Amen. And so that is a tremendous, tremendous blessing. It's also good also to see the White family here. Amen. And it seems awkward to say that because when I think about it, amen, and you look around there and they say, is he saying that whites normally don't come here? And I'm talking about Pastor White and his family. Amen. They came down to see us in Georgia. Amen. I've known him since he was stationed over in Germany. Amen. And they came and visited us over here and when I was pastoring in Belgium. And it's always good, a pleasure to have and see him and his dear wife. Amen. And it's also good to see some old faces. Amen. I had to get on one family here. Amen. Because I looked at them and they were over here. And I said, wait a minute. You're supposed to be over here. Amen. And they said, and then they bragged about how they confused their pastor when they was overseas. Oh, we confused them, had everybody move around when we was in Italy. Like that's a good thing to confuse the preacher, amen. He's having a hard time staying on message anyway, and then you're going to play musical Christians, amen, and just move them all around, amen. But it was okay, amen. I immediately spotted them out, amen, and I realized something, amen. They're moving closer to the door. I don't know what that's all about, amen. And by the way, you folks who don't want to come up closer, it's okay. I don't expectorate at all. I don't spit nowhere near past the fourth row. So you could come up at least to the third row. Amen. Folks, it's exciting to be at any church's anniversary, but especially a church's anniversary that has been there, stick by the stuff for the last 15 years, amen? And you'll see that God has blessed the services because he's always given them a heart that reached not just to some people, but to every people, amen? And it's always a blessing to see those things happen where young people and older folks can get involved with the services, amen? Some identify with me as the young people. Some identify with, I don't know, I'm looking for an old person here. We don't have any here, amen, other than Brother Dawson. He has an old soul, amen. But we're glad to have you folks with us. I know I have to preach fast because they told y'all in advance that there was food. And there's nothing worse in the world than a hungry Baptist, amen, because they're not thinking about the message. They're thinking about, you know, if you mention, hey, we're going to break the bread, once you've told them that, it's like you're going to have to get through this sermon, amen. I have a young fellow by the name of Alan Michael Dunn. He preached for me this morning, and he broadcast, and I was watching him preach. And after the music and all those things, he preached, and he only preached for 16 minutes. Amen. I'm going back to chew him out, and I told him I would. Amen. Because that makes me look bad. It seems to think that maybe I need longer, amen, and these young people could do it faster. But they may be able to do it faster, but I don't know if they can do it better just yet, amen. So, praise the Lord, amen. I am glad to be here with my wonderful wife, Margaret Bennett. Why don't you stand with me? I'm standing, so you stand, that's with me, amen. In February, we will have been married for 40 years. Amen. 40 years. And I know some of y'all thinking, you don't even look like y'all old enough to be married 40 years. And we come from an old culture of arranged marriages. Amen. We got married at 10. And so that's why we look so young today. Amen. It is good to be on the anniversary. Folks, I got to be honest with you. When it comes down to services like this here, I was hoping, you know, you come and you say, hey, he's going to be here. And I was thinking about preaching Sunday school and then Sunday morning and then Sunday evening and then the rest of the week as well. And he said, no, you're just going to have to preach on Sunday morning. I thought, good night. I bought 12 messages. How can I preach them all? Amen. And actually, I bought 112 messages. And so, but amen, we're going to try and just get one of them out of the way this morning. Amen. I was conflicted in about several areas. One of them had to do with gladness in the house of the Lord. Amen. And you say, well, that should be a good one. Everybody should be glad. Everybody who's here should be happy to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't the only one who's happy about these things here. Amen. But then I was looking at also something that happens here at Shining Light and see the characteristics of a church that's alive. Amen. And a church that's alive, which continues to draw, watch this here, dead people to the light that they might get the living word of God and be transformed in his presence. Amen. And so I was going through those things, and I know what's going to happen Monday through Thursday. Amen. I want y'all to be with us every day because we're going to preach a series to you that I believe will absolutely be a blessing if you allow it to be. Amen. And it's going to be a wonderful series, a simple series dealing with the song of a soul set free. How many of y'all are saved today? Say amen.
Amen.
You realize the Bible says when God saved you, according to David, he said he picked you up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set your foot upon a rock. Amen. And we all know that that rock is the Lord Jesus. And he said he put a song in your heart, a song in your mouth, and praise on your lips. Amen. And I found out somewhere along the line, we have a, in this age and day in which we live, a lot of people lost their song. They lost their song. They lost the joy. They lost the reality. They know that they're still on the rock. They know that the foundation is still secure. But when you hear their testimony, when you hear their voice, when you hear their song anymore, it's abysmal. And so God has laid on my heart a series that will take us to the place where we lost our song, to the place where we can sing with victory and triumph once again. Amen. Now you say, well, I wasn't planning on being here. You've already lost your song. You might as well come back and find out how to get it back. Amen. And by the way, it's a revival time too, so you need to be happy. You need to be singing. The world has listened to the blues long enough. The last people they need to hear the blues from is the Christians.
Right.
Amen. They just watch you walk down the street. Nobody knows the trouble you've seen. Well, God knows the trouble you've seen. And he knows that most of the trouble you've seen is self-inflicted.
Exactly.
So it wouldn't hurt you to come back.
Amen.
And by the way, once you come back on Monday, you'll realize, I don't want to come back on Tuesday, but I can't help but be there.
Right.
Amen. Then when you come on Monday and Tuesday, well, I got everything I need, but wait a minute, maybe Wednesday has something that I'm missing. And I guarantee you it will be. Amen. And then you'll say, well, it can't be. I got everything, but wait a minute, here's Thursday, and Thursday, surely I don't need to be there for that, but you'll find out that that's going to be the best service for you.
Right.
Amen. So if you miss Monday, you're going to hate yourself. If you miss Tuesday, you're going to hate other people. If you miss Wednesday, you're going to start taking it out on the Lord. And when you miss Thursday, you're going to burn the church down. So let me encourage you, get here and be where you need to be. Amen. Just so the church could stay standing. Amen. For no other reason. A song, the song of a soul set free. Amen. All right, folks, let's stand together and turn in your Bibles to Psalms 122. Psalm 122. When you get there, say amen. Psalm 122.
Amen.
Now, if you was over here, I'd have known it was time to go forward. But since you're over here, it's just like, I don't know where that's coming from. They're new folks, amen. Psalm 122, you ready?
Amen.
The verse first, we're going to read all nine verses. The Bible says, I was glad. You hear that word? Hear that phrase? I was what? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compacted together. In other words, it is a city that doesn't, it's not flaky, it's not porous, it's compacted together, as Brother White said earlier, where it's pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's a city that is built on unity and the strength of the unity in the Spirit of God. Compacted together, amen? He said a city compacted together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to do what? To give thanks unto who? Unto the name of the Lord. That's why we're here. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palace. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek what?
Thy good.
Father, We love you and thank you today for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Father, for being what we need, Father, to give us the grace, the mercy, the peace, the hope, the power, Lord, the provisions, everything we need, Father, that we might live victorious Christian lives. Lord, once again, we just love you and thank you. Thank you, Lord. As for me, Father, I pray, Lord, that you empty me of self, forgive me of sin, fill me with your Spirit that I might be your servant for the moment. Lord, you know what we have need of here. Holy Spirit, you have liberty here. And Lord, we just need you to just take over. Control my mouth, Lord. Control my heart. And control, Father, everything that proceedeth out of my heart and my mouth, that you might get to glory. If there's any here that doesn't know you as personal Lord and Savior today, Father, I pray, Lord, that they don't have any confusion about the matter at all, nor do they have any hesitation about the matter, that they might trust you as personal Lord and Savior before it's everlasting too late. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Bless in a mighty way. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we do pray, and for his sake, amen and amen. You may be seated this morning, folks. I noticed, mistaken, Pastor Dawson, it looks like the sign covered up the clock. There is no clock? Good night. At a Baptist church, no clock? This is awesome, amen. This is innovative, amen. You'll see that all the time. Normally, they're very time conscious and clock conscious, amen. Pastor Dawson was mentioning to me when he asked me to come over here, he said, I could think of no one better to come during my anniversary time. And I thought, I could have thought a whole lot more people better than me. Amen. But the Lord laid me on his heart, and we're going to continue to go this way. Amen. In this psalm here, as you remember, as you can see from the verse, this is a psalm of David. It started with David, but it finished with a fellow by the name of Hezekiah who brought the rest of the church and rest of the verses together. Amen. We're going to look over at some of those areas. So I want y'all to pre-turn your Bibles also to 2 Chronicles chapter number 29, 30, and 31. We're not going to go through all of those, but there is a lot of things that are in there that is associated with this psalm. Amen. Even though it was from him, again, David, he started it. When you look at the psalm, it says a song of degree of David. It was started by David, but finished by Hezekiah. During this time, here's what happened. The house of God had been in disrepair. The things of God, the services of God had just gotten just abysmal. It got so bad that they had closed the church doors. Amen. When you look over there in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter number 29, you'll find those things happening. Then all of a sudden, God got a hold of the heart of Hezekiah. He was a young man that God called to preach. And when he got called to preach, one of the first things he did, he went over to the house of God. And the first thing he began to do was clean up the house of God. Amen. Now, by the way, you say, what does that have to do with anything? I remember 15 years ago when they first got this building here. Not 15 years ago. It was what? 2007, which is 13 years ago, I think. Any mathematicians here that can take simple numbers like that? 9 years ago, amen, praise the Lord. When they first came here and got the building, one of the things that had to be done, before anybody could move in here, they had to do a major, major cleanup. Amen. A major cleanup. I mean, the walls, they had to paint carpet, you name it, they had to do it. They had to scrape stuff from all over the place. It was a major cleanup. He didn't know this here, but at one time it looked like they had a kitchen back there that had caught on fire. I mean, they had a major cleanup, amen. But Hezekiah, first thing he comes in there, the house of God was in total disrepair. They had to do a major cleanup. They had to take out all the rubbish that was in the house of God and throw all that junk out. And by the way, we still have to do that with all the false doctrines and foolishness that comes in. After they cleaned up the place, the Bible said the thing was so messed up that they couldn't even open the doors of the place. Amen. And the book of 2 Chronicles chapter number 29. Couldn't even open the doors. And God got a hold of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah began to preach to and talk to the people, and God moved into people's heart, and they all got behind the work. I mean, they got behind the work in such a way, they rolled up their sleeves, and it's hard to do this anymore. It's hard to get Christians, even Christian people, committed to the work of God anymore. They don't mind somebody else doing the work, but don't ask me to do the work. And so they got behind the work of God, and they began to clean it up that place. And then all of a sudden, as they looked around there was another preacher who came to a church of disrepair as well. And they were so bad, they had actually lost the Word of God. They had lost the whole Bible. And then all of a sudden, as they was cleaning up the place, some people came up and they said, "We found it. We found the book. We found the Word of God." You mean you've been having services without the Word of God? You've been going on all these years and you couldn't even find the Word of God. The house of God was in such disrepair. Well, Hezekiah starts getting the people back together, bringing them to where they need to be. And when he got the place together, the first thing he started doing was dedicating the house of God. Because he realized something. Pastor Dawson, the people hadn't been in a good church. They hadn't been in a good service for years. Let me stop. Decades. Let me stop. A century. They hadn't been in a good house of God. And it was so bad that he's had to get all the folks and the Levites and the priests. They were so messed up they couldn't even handle the Word of God anymore. So the first thing he had to do was consecrate them. Put them back in their positions. They had singers and they had musicians who were out of place. And so he brought everybody back in place. He brought good music back to the house of God. He brought good ministers back to the house of God. He brought good messages back to the house of God. And the place began to flourish. And the folks got excited about it. When they said, "I was glad when they said it's time to go down to the house of the Lord." They had realized all the work that was put into that place that God might get the glory. And they came into the place. And when they came in, the people were singing. And when they came in, the people, watch this here, the people were smiling. Take a hint. The people were smiling. It's not that hard to do. More bustle to frown than it is to smile. The people were smiling, and they were excited. Why? Because now the Word of God is here. Now the house of God is clean. Now the people of God are here. And they began to do something else. They began to do what they should have been doing in the first place. They began, watch this here, to tithe. Now, I don't want y'all to see that because y'all might think I'm making this up. Amen. Whenever you start talking, he said, "Well, that's Old Testament." No, it's New Testament too. Turn, you're over there in 2 Chronicles? You sure? Look over there in 2 Chronicles and look at chapter 31. When you get there, say amen. Look with me in verse number 5. It says, "And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits." The what fruits? The what fruits? Okay, I want y'all to see his Bible here. The first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and all the increase of the field, and the, what's that other word there? The tithe of all things brought they in, what's that word there? Abundantly. Well, that's the only place. No. "And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of the holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God and laid them by" what? Heaps. Now, it's okay. We know that even if we give our best, many of us won't have heaps. Amen. But I tell you, Pastor Dawson will not get mad if you brought in heaps of tithes and they were there so he could pay off the building. Amen? Matter of fact, if I was y'all, I'd try and scare him, try and bring in heaps. I hate to say this, folks, but what y'all just did, I want you to look at 2 Chronicles chapter number 30 and look at verse number 10. It says, "So the post passed from the city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, but they" what? "They laughed them to scorn," and what? So when you giggle at the tithe, I'm just saying, amen. And so all of these things were going on, folks. And they began to bring in the tithe, and they began to sacrifice, and they began the offerings. I want you to look at something else there in 2 Chronicles. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 29. The Bible said in verse number 26, "And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded the offer to offer the burnt offerings upon the altar. And when the burnt offerings began, what happened? The song of the Lord began also with the trumpet and with the instruments ordained by David the king. He said when they started offering, the singing started. The music started. It was exciting. By the way, when you see when they play the piano or play the instruments during the offertorium time, there you go. There's a biblical reference for why it happens and how it happens. It snatches and brings everything together. Now, they're going to be going through there. They're going to be giving up the offerings, and the Bible is going to say, and they began to worship. They began to worship, and they began to worship. When you get into the house of God, when things are in order, the main purpose for the house of God is to give God's people a place where they can come and worship. And you cannot worship if you're not prepared to give, not just of your substance, but most of all of yourself. Amen. Worship is us coming together, giving adoration to God, giving ourselves over to Him, and thanking Him for His goodness to us. Amen. Can I tell you something today, folks? You may be here with all kinds of problems, but God's been good to you. Amen. You may come here with all kinds of challenges in your life, but God's been good to you. Why do you know that? Because you're able to come here at all. Amen. You're able to come here at all. There's a whole lot of people who couldn't get out of bed today. There's a pastor's wife who would love to be here today, but she's over there with her mother. And watching her mother slip off into eternity, knowing that one day she's going to see her again. I mean, there is a lot of things that you and I can be thankful for God for. Amen? And by the way, it was awesome when I walked into your church today, the people who immediately broke out into smile, amen. We had, I call him G2, amen. I don't know what y'all call him, amen. But he came up to me, and he ran, and he jumped up into my arms. Have you seen him? You know that in my mind it was like, this is not a smart move on his part. He jumped up, and I caught him, amen, because I have to let him know I'm still strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But everything in me said, boy, are you crazy? Don't you see that I'm old? Amen. But to see the joy with people with a spirit and a mind that says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. Looking forward to services. Looking forward to these things. Looking forward to your celebration. Looking forward to the anniversary. Looking forward to the food. Looking forward to the rest of the week. Looking forward. Well, I mentioned the food. I'm sorry. Some of y'all looking at me. You know, preacher, you can skip a meal. God's been good to me. I don't have to skip a meal. Amen. Says, you're going to eat yourself into the hospital. No, I got low blood pressure. I got low cholesterol. I got everything that's in control. My heart beats well. I used to have a murmuring in my heart, they said, but I got right with the Lord, and they can't find that murmuring anymore. Amen. The only thing I have trouble with is sometimes my clothes don't fit me as well as they used to. That's the only problem I have. Amen. Because God's been good to me. Amen. Gave me a wonderful wife. Amen. She beats me, but she's still wonderful. Sometimes we need that. So as God was working in this place, they're coming together for the first time, and they're excited. They are excited. They are remembering the peace that they used to have. You remember when you first got saved, how much peace was in your heart? Some of y'all been here with Shining Life from the beginning, and if you're not careful, it will begin to be fresh oil to you. Now, I'm not talking about fresh oil like a renewing of the anointing of God. I'm talking about the fresh oil that the Jews went through when they had the manna so often. They had it for 40 years, and every day the manna fell. And after a while, because they had a mixed crowd there, you had some who were on fire for God, you had some that were faking it for God, and they were all together, and after a while they said, all we have to eat is this old manna. Now, when they first got the manna, it was honey from heaven. It was like nothing else you could ever eat. It was so good. Amen. It was so wonderful. Man, you should have heard the messages. You should have heard the preaching. You should have heard all these things. But after all these years, it's just like fresh oil. Boy, they made manna pancakes, manna soup, manna biscuits. They made manna. They boiled it, had manna soup. They had all kinds of manna. And they said, all we have is this old manna. And it said, and the taste of it then was as fresh oil. Any of y'all ever had a great big old nice tasty glass of fresh oil? Maybe get you a nice spoonful of lard. Anybody? Y'all laugh now. You figure if I put sugar to it, I'll make it into frosting. And I'll put it on my cake. So folks, the house of God got excited. The remnant came together. They were feeling good. They started inviting. Watch this here. It got so good to them, they invited everybody they could find. They invited the other tribes to come out there, and some of them laughed at them. I'm not coming over there. I'm not going to be a part of that. The Lord was working. The offerings were happening. The people were rejoicing. They were worshiping. I mean, it was all going according to God's plan. And let me show you how great it was. Look at chapter number 31, and look at verse number 21. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles, and every work that he began, this is Hezekiah, as he was doing the things of the Lord. Look at verse 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good, and what? And right, and what? And truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, what? He did it with all of his heart and did what? And prospered. I mean, it was getting awesome there. Amen. Some were feeling discouraged, feeling disheartened. God brought them back to the place of joy and reverence. Amen. When they gave invitations were given, people would come like the visitors we got here today. Praise the Lord. By the way, you have to have a good testimony to be like him. And these young men come. Amen. I think y'all are young men. How old are you? 24. And how old are you? 24. Amen. Praise the Lord. And who invited you? And so he combined y'all ages. You still got them beat. And you came anyway. Amen. So when those invitations come out, we have people come from far and wide. They're coming down here to be a part of the celebration of the house of God that God has blessed for these years. And everything went well, was going well in my father's house. So let's see some things here. I want to talk about the gladness in the house of God. Now, I do have a watch, and it is a calendar watch. Not one to give regular time, amen. But I shall try to move as quickly as possible, amen. As you go down there, we want to preach on the subject, gladness in the house of God. This could easily take a long time, but we're not going to take a long time. We're going to step through these verses here, amen. Because when they had that gladness, verse number 1, it gives the theme of the whole thing. In Psalm 122, back over there, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let me ask that question real quick. How many of y'all are glad to be here today? Praise the Lord. Now, over here, they seem like they're more glad than y'all are over here. Amen. I don't want to put y'all in competition with your gladness. Amen. But it just seemed like they were more glad. Now, you say, well, there's more of them to be glad. Amen. The amount of glee and the amount of joy you have is not contingent upon the amount of people that are there. Amen. You should easily be able to out-glad them. Amen. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Amen. How many of y'all are glad to be here? Say amen. Praise the Lord. Now you're living up to your name. Amen. By the way, you did a good job, young fella. I heard you above all of them. Amen. He said, here's why we're glad to be in the house of the Lord. Number one, you look at that 15 years and you think, well, that's really nothing. This church over here has been there 100 years. Yeah, it's been there 100 years, but you'll find out the peace and the power and the joy that used to establish that church with simplicity, with the Spirit of God, it's not there anymore. You got to find ways to motivate people, to almost trick people, to encourage them to come in there. So you got to have shows, and you have to bring in as much worldliness as you can. The Word of God is no longer the drawing card. It's the show that people put on as the drawing card. Amen. And by the way, I don't care if you put on the best show in the world. It will not save one soul. But you get people in a solemn assembly of God's presence, and I tell you, people's heart will break. And when their hearts break, they'll see their need for the Savior, and they'll cry out to Him to save them. And the Bible says when they cry out to Him to save them, He said there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that comes to repentance. So heaven begins to rejoice. Not because we put on a great show, but because one soul, came to know the Lord and Savior. And but folks, I enjoy rejoicing with heaven. I enjoy. And so he comes down and he says, one of the first things that makes me glad to be in the house of God and be in this house of God is in verse number 2. And here's what it is. First of all, there is stability. Stability. What are you talking about? Look at verse number 2. Our feet shall stand within thy gates. What? Old Jerusalem. I don't have to worry about the doctrine of God being wishy-washy here. I've known Pastor Dawson for years. Now, he has caused a lot of joy in people's lives, and he has caused a lot of grief in people's lives because he sticks to the same book, amen? Even Paul had to say, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And to many people, the answer is, matter of fact, yes. If you hadn't have told me the truth, I wouldn't have known these problems, and I wouldn't have had these problems. Why couldn't you just say that I'm a good old boy? Why couldn't you say that I'm just wonderful? Why couldn't you say that everybody does that? Why couldn't you say that I can smoke when I want to, I can drink when I want to? Why can't you just say, because Jesus takes you just the way you are. And he does. He just doesn't leave you that way. Amen. We forget about that. Come just as you are, but don't leave like you came. Amen. Let God do His work in your life. And so Pastor Dawson would cause people to come to the place of, watch this word, it's a big old word, accountability. Not accountability to Him, not accountability to shining light, but accountability to the Lord. And they said, well, we don't like that. It doesn't matter. The Word of God is not going to change because you and I don't like it. Amen. And so, but Pastor Dawson has also preached some sweet messages. I don't know of any, but I heard he does, amen. Where he can encourage people and where they want to get involved and where they enjoy the things of God. But he's been consistent throughout these years. Every year that I've known, he's been absolutely consistent. Absolutely consistent. I remember when he was learning his consistency many, many hundreds of years ago when he was at the church in Belgium, and him and his wife got into a challenge. And Sister Carmen, she's watching, amen, I think. It looks like that thing which, oh, okay, she's waving. Praise the Lord. Good to see you again, sister. She was watching, and Pastor Dawson was getting infused with the Word of God. I mean, he was getting so intensely studying it, and his wife would just want to spend some time with him. Since you got to worry about your family, he began to quote scripture at his wife. Now, if you're a young preacher, don't quote scripture to your wife. I found this out the hard time. It doesn't always apply, you know. He quoted scripture, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And by the end, it was getting her frustrated, amen. And then she came and she said, Pastor, what should I do? I said, you tell him. Quote scripture back to him. He that denieth his own is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. Nothing like having a Christian fight, is it? But they would get involved and they would learn and they would grow and the stability that's in their lives. And they changed not. And you could see the stability translated down into their children. And you could see all those things happening. The children of a sound mind, to those who wish to stay around them, it's evident in the crowd that they hang around with. But the Christians whose lives that they influence, there's a reason why the whites decided that they wanted to come and be a part of this thing here. There was something in their lives and in his life that began to bind together a tightly knit group that they can work together and serve together. And it was stability here. I don't have to worry about it changing. And it's good because I have a God who said, I am the Lord, I change not. I'm glad the word of God is not fickle like society. I'm glad the word of God still rehearses the reality that there is a difference between men and women, and society or the Supreme Court is not the designator that tells the difference. I'm glad God's word is still strong and God's word is still true. I'm glad he still tells me and shows me how I could raise my children. I'm glad God's word has all those things. It gives me stability in my life. The world could get all chaotic, but God's word stays the same. And you know what? The same way people got saved back then, they get saved today. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He still tells a nation how to be a nation, even though our nation has gotten away from that. In God we trust. The nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. The Bible still gives the same admonitions and condemnation. And it doesn't change. Well, I can't believe you still follow that old book. You know, that old book is telling me that we're living in the last days. And you know what? That old book tells me that the stuff that's going on here didn't catch God by surprise. As a matter of fact, he wrote it all down there centuries ago, millennia ago. So when you and I see it, you and I can still be stable trusting in him. Well, I like a church that has stability. Some people don't like stability. Some people just like chaos. They like running in and out. They like church hopping and playing church. You know, God's word says, no, you get in there, you settle down, you settle in, you get busy and do what the Lord would have you do. Hey, I was glad to go to the house of God because at least I know when I come to shining light, I got stability. He's not going to change. And you'll get, some people get mad and leave. Bless God, you need to modernize. Well, I am modernized. We got lights and everything. We got indoor plumbing. They didn't have it back then. Amen. We are modern. We got fans. We got air conditioning. We've got padded pews. You know, the early church used to meet up and sit on rocks. And by the way, if you want to see how they did, visit the Philippines. Go to some of the places that I've been to in the Philippines where we met under a mango tree and folks got saved under a mango tree in the rain. When we walked into the houses, they still, some of the places we had still had floors that were not cement floors or carpet or things like that. They were dirt floors. And those folks love the Lord like nobody I've ever seen. They're out there, but we got it modern. Praise the Lord. I mean, we got it good. We're going to see a video on a big old screen. Some of y'all remember when the biggest screen y'all had was only this big and everybody was gathered around it. We modernized. Sister Carmen is watching the services in New Jersey. Amen. How much modern can you get to that? But you don't want modern conveniences. You want us to change the word of God to fit a society of immoral people. And we're not going to do it. Stability in the house of God. Look at verse number 3. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. What does that mean? That means not only do we have stability in verse number 2, we have solidarity. What does that mean? Pastor Dawson, can I say this here with all my heart? You can count on me. Amen. I believe in what the Bible says. And as long as you're teaching what the Bible says, I'll be there to help back you up. I'll pray for you. I'll stand with you. Amen. And I'll do all of those things. As long as you are following the Lord, I'll follow you. Amen. Amen. Solidarity. Amen. It's hard to find solidarity. I don't think he should be telling me what to do. But God didn't ask you what you thought. So isn't that a wonderful thing? Aren't you glad of that? God didn't ask for your opinion. He didn't ask for your opinion when he created the world. He didn't ask for your opinion when he created men and women. He didn't ask you for your opinion. He didn't ask for your opinion when he established the church. He didn't ask for your opinion when he went to the cross. He didn't ask for your opinion for any of those things. When he established the church, the local New Testament church, he didn't ask you your opinion. So what do you think the church should be like? You know what he said the church should be like? The church in relationship to Christ should be as an intimate relationship as a husband and a wife. They should have that kind of intimate relationship. Amen. Now, this is, got a caveat this here. This is a husband that loves his wife as Christ loved the church. And this is a wife that submits herself unto the Lord as unto the church. Amen. When you get a marriage that's like that, the God says, I show you a mystery. I'm speaking about Christ and the church. Amen. He says there's stability, but there's solidarity there. Those who have been here and been with the church for 15 years, they've shown the solidarity. They've seen problems. There is not a church that has ever been that has not had any problems. Not even the first church. We got deacons because the first church started having problems, amen? And they had to get deacons because these people over there thought that they were being neglected. And they was coming to the preacher and said, you need to serve us. And the preacher said, it's not meet for me to leave the word of God to wait on tables. So for 15,000 people, they chose 7 deacons. Tell you what, when you get those 7 deacons with 15,000 people, I guarantee you, they got no time to gang up on the pastor. Hey, buddy, you still got 4,000 people you didn't deal with over there. You better get your job done over there before you come telling me about my job. Those who have been together with him 15 years. By the way, when you join in on that, it's not a click. Amen. Some people think because they're already together. They've been together for 15 years. It's not a click. It's consistency. It's compactness. And you could come in there and join in with that. Amen. If you weren't trying to find a way to break it up to get in, just join in. Can I tell you something? There's place in the church for everybody. Amen. Place in the church for everybody. God makes room for you in your gift. He said they're compact together. There's solidarity there. This church wouldn't be here if there wasn't solidarity here. Amen. But not only that, look at verse number 4. He says, whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, these are God's people, unto the testimony of Israel to do what? To give thanks unto the name of the Lord. There's not just stability. There's not just solidarity. There's service. Service. What do you mean? We came together to watch this marvelous work. To serve. Amen? To serve. We come up to the house of God. We come up to the things of God. And by the way, when you look over at Second Chronicles, you see they came together. They begin to serve one another. They begin to sacrifice. Those who couldn't serve. Let me show you something here. Look back over there just for a moment. You got to turn quick there, amen. There were some folks who could not serve, amen. Look down at chapter number 29 and verse number 29. Actually, verse 28. The Bible said, and all the congregation did something. What did they do? And the singers what? Sang. Amen. The singers sang. That's what singers do. Singers should sing. Amen. And we had some singers here who sang. Amen. That's what they do. He said, and what's it? And the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offerings were finished. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves. And what did they do again? Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to what? Sing praises unto the Lord with the words of who? Now, this is what the song we're dealing with right now. The songs of David. This is the one. Unto the songs of David, words of David, and of Asaph the seer, and they sang praises with, what's that word there? Gladness, and they bowed their heads and did something else again. What did they do? Let's see, they worship him when they give. They worship him when they're singing. They worship him when they hear the word of God. Then Hezekiah answered and said, now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and what? Bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings. And as many as were of a free heart, what? Burnt offerings. They're serving together. And the number of the burnt offerings. And they begin to tell you that in all the bullets. And he's still going to tell you later. Here. Look at verse number 34. But the priests were what? Too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended. What did they do? They all came together and served. And serve. Now let's go here a little further and a little faster. We got the service going on. Back over there, Psalm 122. Look at verse number 5. He said, for there were set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Not only did you have service going on, you had sovereignty going on. What does that mean? It lets you know something. I love Pastor Dawson. He's my friend. He's my brother. But Pastor Dawson is not the head of the church. Amen? Who's the head of the church? Anybody know? Then how come y'all blame Pastor Dawson for the things God commands to do in the church? The sovereignty of the church is not the pastor. The sovereignty of the church is the Lord. This is his church. This is his people. We are but under shepherds. We are but people that he used down here to lead and to take people closer to him. The Bible says over in Ephesians chapter number 4 that we were given for the perfecting, for the maturing, for the building of the saints. That's why we're here. But the church is the Lord's. The Bible said upon this rock, this is Jesus saying, I will build my church. And the church isn't the building. The church is the people. You're the church. He said, but God has to be the Lord of your life. You know, it's an amazing thing, Pastor Dawson and Pastor White. You'd be surprised how many people don't mind taking Jesus as Savior, but have a problem with him as Lord. I don't mind him saving me, but don't tell me what to do. I don't want to serve you like that. The sovereignty. Look at verse number 6 over there. He said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall, what? Prosper that love thee. I'll look over here, and not only do I have sovereignty, I have spirituality. They're praying. Now, Pastor Dawson said some of y'all have been praying for this meeting for a while. Amen? The hard thing is going to happen is this. Some of you who have prayed, you won't be here to participate. And you know what that says? That says that my prayer really didn't have the effect or have the meaning that I intended it to have. If I'm praying for something, I'm going to participate into it until it's finished. Amen? God's got a reason for you to pray. Amen. He wants to see your hearts joined together. I want to see your spirituality. I want to see your heart. Amen. He said, if you pray for the things, watch what he said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that what? That love thee. I'm praying for the house of God, the things of God. God said, if you love those things, you'll prosper. Amen. Number 7. He said, peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. Not only am I dealing with sovereignty and spirituality, but serenity. I should not come to the house of God and find strife. Amen? No undercurrents. If there's any place I should come to be able to have peace, it's the house of God. You know why? That world out there hates me. But God's people love me. And I'd come around them and I could say, praise the Lord, my soul, it was a hard day out there. I was glad when they said it's time to go to the house of God. Why? Because when I get to the house of God, I'm going to meet people who love me. Amen. I'm going to meet people who said, Pastor Bennett, it's good to see you again. Sister Bennett, what are you doing here? By the way, I like to show up with places. I don't need to preach every place I go. I like to just show up there and be a part of the fellowship. Amen. Just to see smiles on people. See people grab my hand and actually shake it. And they shake it and grab my hand and grip it like they want to break my hand. And I smile at them. Amen. Praise the Lord. With the guys, I put the death grip back on them. Yeah, you want to play wrestle? Well, let's play wrestle, amen. Because by the way, man, I believe in a good firm handshake. Don't lay your hand in my hand with that wet noodle feel. No, son. It's like, it's almost like I need one of those towels to sterilize my hand. Don't touch me like that, amen. But you throw that hand out there and put that grip out there, and I'll grip with you just as long as you want to until both of us hands are bleeding and all the blood comes out of it. But ladies, when y'all do it, I don't have the nerve to grip your hand back. But some of you ladies grip my hand like, you know, hey, how you doing, preacher? It's like, ah, dear Lord. Amen. I know you used to breaking down engines and all that stuff, and you got that grip, but I need a, and so what I like to do when they do that, when they grip my hand with that kind of force, I turn it, and I get shivers on them. When you do that, like in the old days, they used to turn them and kiss the lady's hand. I'm not going to do that, amen. I don't know what you've been doing. But at the same time, besides that, my kiss your hand, my wife kissed me with her hand, amen. It's not the same. But I turn it. But it's to know, all that's to say this here, I come into the house of God and I get the fellowship greeting. And I know that this place, for this time, if the word of God being preached, the songs of Zion are sung, there is serenity, there is peace, there is tranquility. I was glad to go to church. Man, my day was awful. I was glad to get into the household, especially on the midweek service, because you need, people don't think they need that midweek service. You need that charge. Because praise the Lord, and y'all midweek services on Wednesday, from Monday to Wednesday, the world is chaos. So you come and you get charged up in the midweek. And you come back and you get fellowship with sanity. And then you go back on, and then you said, now I could make it from Thursday, maybe to Saturday. I could get through that because then Sunday's coming again. And I was glad when they said it was time to get out to the house of the Lord. There should be serenity in the house of God. Lastly, with this thing here, actually, next to lastly, look at verse 8. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say what? Not only was there serenity in verse number 7, but there was sensitivity in verse number 8. You know what that's telling me? Not everybody we're running into as church people, even in the church, had a great day. Some of us had some hard times. I don't know what you've gone through yesterday. I don't know what you've gone through today. I don't know what you're going through. I really don't, but there should still be a sensitivity in me to say, how are you doing, brother? How are you doing, sister? How's the Lord working in your life today? And you can sit up there and say, well, I'm having a bad day. It says, isn't it awesome, though? We can have a bad day and still have a great God. Isn't it good to know that we have a God that is not untouched by our feelings? He knows what we're feeling like and he can take us through it. Isn't it wonderful that he can just sing one song to take us out of the funk and put us back on the throne? Amen? But we have to be sensitive one to another. My wife said, why don't you learn that when it comes down to time in the house of God? Be sensitive. They've been here for almost 15 minutes. Amen? Hey, folks, if I ain't going to say it. Yes, I will. If we can't handle a little bit of time down here, we're going to hate heaven. We're going to absolutely hate it. Because we're going to be in the presence of the Lord and listening to his voice forever. The early church got so involved with those things when Jesus preached, they didn't even realize what time it was. They actually missed the fellowship meal that was scheduled. Amen. He had to come and he made sure that they had food. He said, the time is well spent. He said, give you them to eat. So this is Bible. We don't have 5,000, but if y'all invited more, we'd have had more to feed. They were with him all day. He said, the day is far spent. The disciples said, send them away. God said, you feed them. We can't do it. I know you can't. So you bring it to me, and I'll feed them. Number 9 here. One of the greatest things you'll find in the house of God, when there's gladness there, you'll find salvation. Salvation. Verse number 9 says, because what? Because of the house of the Lord our God, what? The Bible says, for God so loved the world. The house of God was designed as a place where people could come with broken hearts and broken souls. And because of his house, people could hear the gospel, the good news. Amen. The good news, and trust in him. Those with broken hearts and broken lives, he said, I can mend your life. I can fix your heart. Those who feel like you're in captivity and you're oppressed, he said, I came to set free the captives. Amen. I came to build you up. I came to let you know that there is hope. And that hope is in the blessed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the cross of Calvary. And by the way, when you come to the house of God, there should be a time, there should be a place where you can do business with God. And God's still saving souls. And by the way, just because you are saved does not mean, because you still have this worldly body, this fleshly body, that you don't need to be delivered from some problems and some challenges that you have. So he can not only save your soul, but he can also deal with your life in such a way where he can restore the joy of your foundation of salvation. That's what David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He can make it once again where you are glad to be in the house of God, instead of just enduring it. Now, folks, God wants people to be saved. How many of y'all are saved here today? Just say amen.
Amen.
He said, you got, by the way, how many of y'all remember where you got saved?
Amen.
Pastor Dawson said he got saved in the church at Calvary's Harvest Baptist Church in Hershey's, Belgium. He didn't. We were renovating our church. And Pastor Dawson and Sister Dawson came and visited us in a sister church, a German church that was over there, that let us use their building. And my wife said, they weren't a sister church. They let us use their building. I didn't say they were spiritual. I just said, we were in their building. And Pastor Dawson heard the gospel in that place. He was his dear wife. And by the way, when we saw him, it is hard to believe that God would save anybody that looked like him. He was mean. It looked like he was mean for no reason whatsoever. He just came out, and I don't know if he'd ever told, he looked like he just came in from an all-nighter. I mean, he was just mean. No, he didn't. Ask him. He looked like he was wore out. He heard the gospel. He got dealt with one of the brothers. And then shortly after that, we had to move out of that German church to move back to our church. And our church was in disarray. Hezekiah, if he had came in with all the Israelites, he still wouldn't have been able to fix it up fast enough. And Brother Dawson said, I don't want to go to this church. I want to go back to the other church. I want to go back to the church I got saved in. I want to go back there. We didn't even baptize. Did you get baptized by that time? At the hotel. We couldn't even baptize. I want to go back there. So when he says that church in Hershey's, Belgium, that's the one he wound up serving in. He got saved in the one in Castro that he wanted to go back to. Because he was a young Christian and he served with eye service. This place is wretched. This place is wretched. Look at this place. It's awful. Rubble, yeah. I want to go back to my old church. But something happened. As we were working on the church, God was working on him. And he did our hearts closer and closer together. There was times when we had to work on that building and there was nobody but Brother Dawson and I. Brother Dawson said, I can't do anything. I don't know how to hammer a nail. I don't have to. He said, but I can sweep a floor and I can be here for moral support. And he supported me. He said, preacher, do you know that there's people who are actually thinking that if this church succeeds, it's of the Lord. If we fail, it's because of you. And he stuck with me anyway. Amen. He was one of those people, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Amen. I want to clean the toilets. Can you imagine how many of y'all volunteered to clean the toilets? I want to clean the toilets. Let me see your hand. Hold up high. Praise the Lord. Got 4 or 5 people want to clean the toilets. And the piano player wants to clean the toilets. You can't hurt your finger on that stuff. That Stuff will mess up your fingers. You can't hit those notes. Amen. He said, I want to clean the toilets. You know, he taught a fellow preacher of ours, a fellow pastor, he taught him how to clean the toilets. He's pastoring now the Emmanuel Independent Baptist Church in, Lincolnton, North Carolina. Amen. He taught him how to clean toilets. God called him to preach from cleaning toilets. God blessed him from cleaning toilets. Now, folks, all that is to say this. They were glad to go into the house of the Lord. That's my introduction. That's all it is. I'm not going to go into the message. It was just an introduction. If God can introduce us to all of that, amen, in 12 or 9 short verses, because people were glad to be there. Imagine if we'd have went through all that to happen in 2 Chronicles. From chapter 29 to chapter 31, and see the details of it all, how people's lives changed. 15 years, people's lives changed. I came and visited him when they was at the storefront over there. There wasn't very many people there. People's lives changed. Remember, they had the Sunday school back there in the back, in that back area of that thing here. And if you could get 4 people in there, you say, man, we got a crowd. There's no room to move. And God opened this place up because they were faithful. A group came over there and took care of most of the expenses for this building to even get it here. Another guy came past there and donated, gave part, sacrifices for you folks to have a place. Amen. And the only thing God is saying, appreciate what you got. Celebrate with them, and God may get the glory. Let's stand to our feet this morning, folks. Just for a moment. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around. How many would say here today, preacher, if I was to die right now, is it possible I could have you turn this up just a little bit? If I was to die right now, or if the Lord was to come back right now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, watch this, nothing wavering, by the word of God, I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I know I'm saved. Based upon the word of God, not interested in your church membership, your baptism, your affiliation, just by the word of God, I know I'm saved. You got that testimony, slip your hand up in testimony to the Lord. Slip it up high. Don't be ashamed of him. The Bible says he's not ashamed to call you, brethren. Amen. You may put him down. How many say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but if the truth be known, there's times, I'm going to be honest with myself and honest with the Lord, there's times when I wasn't glad when they said it was time to go down to the house of God. There's times when I had problems in my heart. I mean, I see your hands, folks. If the truth be known, we're all part of that group. You know, aren't you glad God didn't hold that against you? And he still gave you a place to meet even when you didn't want to meet there. And now he worked those things to the place where you are glad to be here to celebrate with him. Let me tell you something. The piano player is going to start playing in a few moments. I praise the Lord. She has answered prayer. She has answered prayer. And we're going to get a chance to go down to an old-fashioned altar like they did in 2 Chronicles. They came and brought it to the altar. And we're going to get a chance to thank the Lord publicly and personally for what he's done here. We're going to get a chance to do it. But my last question is this. I would be honest to say, preacher, if something was to happen to me or if I was to die, and let me encourage you about 2 things. Number one, just because you're in the house of God doesn't mean God can't take you out of here. If I was to die, and the Bible said, what is man's life but a vapor that appeareth for a little while? Or if Christ was to come back right now, he said, I don't think he's coming back right now. At an hour when you think not, the Son of Man coming. Preacher, I don't know for sure that I'd go to be with him in heaven. I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. I hope I will. I think I will. But to say beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know I will. I don't know. Pray for me. Anybody like that? If you just slip your hand up, I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand back there as well. I see your hand, ma'am. I see your hand, ma'am. I see your hand, young fella. I see your hand. Anybody else? You're talking about a day of celebration. Heaven is waiting to rejoice, but the decision is going to be yours. If you're a man, we'll get a man to take you to the side. We're not going to here to embarrass or get you confused about anything. They'll take you to the side and take the Word of God, nothing but the Word of God, not a church covenant, not a baptismal robe. They're not going to lay hands on you. They're not going to pour oil on your head. They're just going to take the Word of God and show you what the Bible says that you might know for sure. Because when it's all said and done, it's God's Word that saves you. It's God's blood that saves you. It's God's Spirit that saves you. It's God, only God. Only God. I don't know for sure. Those who raised their hand and say they didn't know for sure, could you do one more thing for me? Could you look at me? Just make eye contact with me. Because my question to you is a simple one. Would you like to know? Would you like to know? This could be the day, a shining light, that heaven rejoices to the place that even the rapture may take place. Because that's all God's waiting for, that last soul that's on his agenda, his calendar. Would you like to know? If you would like to know, again, we have Pastor Dawson. He'll direct you which way you need to go. The others who raised their hands said they had challenges with the house of God. When she starts playing, why don't you make your way down to an old-fashioned altar? Show those who don't know how to get there and get right. Show them the way as she plays. Let God have his way. My Jesus, I love thee. What she's playing. You can find out. You say, look, I had challenges before. This is your time to come over there and say, Lord, look at all the things you've done for. And by the way, don't worry about if there's somebody there. I guarantee you, they're not going to hinder you from going down to an old-fashioned altar. They're not going to get in your way. They'll get out of your way because they want to see things go the way it needs to go too. They want to see the blessings of the Lord move as well. They want to see the power of God move in your life. You can make your way down to an old-fashioned altar and they will escort you here. Lord working in your heart. Those who raised their hands said they didn't know. If you would like to know, just step out of your seat. There's already people here. Just step out and let somebody work with your heart. Give you the gospel. Why take chances that you may not be able to come back? Why not just let God have his way? You raised your hand. Now open your heart. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. You don't open your heart. He said, if any man open up, I will come in with him and sup with him and he with me. You raised your hand, open your heart, and then let God move your feet. Father, you know our hearts today. You know what we have need of, Father. I ask, Lord, that you be glorified this day, even as you've already been glorified. I pray, Lord, that you take charge of this place and take charge of each and every heart. Be with the pastor, Lord, as he brings forth the rest of the invitation, Lord. Take us to where we need to be. And thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being able to celebrate the Shining Light Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, for establishing this lighthouse. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, Pastor Austin.
Heads are bowed, the eyes are still closed, and Christians are praying just for a moment. Reflect on the things that have been said. How's God dealing with your heart and your life? Are you glad? It's time to go to the house of God. So, preacher, you don't know the things going on in my life. No, I don't. But God does. Preacher, you don't know the trouble I've seen. I don't, but God does. You don't know what it's like, preacher. I don't, but God does. You don't know what I'm facing, and the answer to many of those is I don't, but God does. Let God work into your heart. Let work in your life. It should be joy. It should be gladness. Why? It's God's time. It's God's time. Father, thank you for those that raised their hand expressing their need. And now, Lord, I pray that you would show them that they're just one step away from getting things settled with thee. And that, Lord, you alone can bring salvation. You alone can save their souls. You alone, by the gospel's power. But they must be willing to come. They must be willing to turn. They must be willing to accept the gospel. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Thank you for the souls that have been saved these past 15 years through the Shining Light Baptist Church ministry. And, Lord, many are represented here today. And so, Lord, I pray that you would go prepare and, Lord, prepare our hearts, prepare the next several moments that we have together. Let none of those that raised their hand leave
without getting things settled, Lord. I pray you give them that opportunity to talk with someone before they leave today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the man that you bought for the hour, the message you laid upon his heart, Lord, the ministry to our souls. And I pray that everything done now would bring glory and honor to you. I thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And amen. Folks, you may take your seats right now. The children are going to be coming.